On January 25th, 2021, a driver in a silver Honda Element struck six pedestrians in southeast Portland, killing one. Today, we're speaking with one of the victims who ultimately helped apprehend the driver to understand where the traumatic experience has left him now. Miguel Rochin was one of those hurt in the hit-and-run spree. Miguel was driving when he saw the Element hit a bicyclist.
I saw he's jumping, you know. I can say 50%, you know. I don't know, I don't really make sure whether he hit, you know. After that, I can say 100% when he hit in about 18 in Stark Avenue, he hit a bicycle, you know. The guy, you know, was on it. The bike disappeared with his hands. And then I just did, you know, pull over my car, you know, to try to help the people, you know. But besides, you know, a lady with El Camino, like a 1980s, you know, classic, the black color, was in front of me. She's parked, you know, I'm parked, I'm back, and she's back, back, you know. And then I'm asking her what's going on. But we and then try to ask him to the people if everybody's right, you know. She need help, you know, I was screaming. But nobody mean say nothing because the guys, I think so, when they hit something, return a little bit back, you know. When he's passing 18, he hit the guy, you know, and then he drove his car, you know, a Honda Element by the sidewalk next to the school, you know. And then the sidewalk, and then he's turning 17. And then he's turning back to 19. I was in the middle of that thing. And where I saw him, the guy driving back, you know, straight to me.
He recorded the driver with his phone, but the driver turned around and began accelerating towards him. Miguel tried to jump out of the way, but was clipped by the car bumper, injuring his leg and his hand.
And then I just using my phone, you know, to say, I tried to avoid him, you know, like it's a weapon, you know. He said, you can't do that nothing to me because I got you in camera, you know. But this guy, I mean, I see his face, you know, like an evil face, like a Chucky the doll, you know, like this evil laugh, and came straight to me and gave more gas to his car. I said, for that moment, I said, oh, my God, you know, what are you going to do, you know. And then I'm going to choose, you know, the video of my life, you know. That's what I mean, I put my phone away, you know, and drop it, and then try to hit me, I go all squish all the way to my bed, you know, because I was already outside my bed, started helping people who was an injury, but that guy, and then he's passed me, you know, and ended up one of my pants, you know, and I hit my hand, because he's got like a right side, he's got like a black bumper hanging, you know. It smacked me, you know, with a bumper.
Miguel chased the car down the road, and as it wrecked into another car, he chased the driver who had hit all those people. He says he wasn't thinking about himself in that moment, but the school nearby.
He's jumping from his car. I decided to chase him, you know, because this guy's going to kill some kids in the school, you know, or whatever, you know, or any person. And then I decided to chasing him because he's jumping for his car, for his car, you know. When he already, he can't go anywhere, he tried to make reverse, but the car was stuck on it. And then he's run all the way, going to the start to 17, and turning left, going to Belmont, and I chasing him, you know. And then when I go with him, you know, he started to punch me twice on my face. And I said, go on the ground. I mean, he's surprised he did it one time, you know. And the second time, I mean, the people came over, you know, three guys, we corralled him, you know. But I was, I mean, and then whether he came over to me and I tried to go in his pocket, you know, and jacket and grab something white, I don't know, I can say like a piece of bread, or I don't know if it was drugs, and throw him in my face, you know. And then after that, you know, I was waiting for the police, you know, they came over, you know. After the cops, police came over, you know, and take care of the situation, you know. That's what I can say about that day, you know. I mean, what's it? My point, you know, I saw a school, you know, with the kids, I mean, the playground, you know. I don't want to hurt kids, you know. I mean, I got family values, you know, and then we always take care of the kids, you know. I mean, and then that's what I try to do, you know, put them safe, you know, don't hurt any kids, you know, any children. Besides, you know, I don't expect that he's already killed that lady. My point is to the rescue people. I don't want to be the victim, you know. And now I'm turned to the victim and the captor of that guy, you know, pretty much because I was, I mean, furious, you know, when he was, I mean, just run over people, you know, like a crazy. I don't know what's going on.
This isn't the first traumatic incident that Miguel has endured in recent memory either. Miguel was present on the MAX train in 2017 during the fatal stabbings. Miguel is also an undocumented day laborer, which means his injuries have had a major impact on his ability to support himself financially.
And then I'm a labor day work, you know. I went to the, tried to talk to boss, you know, a couple of days ago, I think so last week, if I can have any help, you know, like I need assistance, you know, for program, you know, for mental health. And then I need to recovery for this thing, you know, my hands, you know. It's I'm still using physical therapy, and then to today. But I mean, I need to get some. I mean, I don't know. I mean, here, I can say I got dreams, you know, and then I don't want to depress, you know. Depressed, you know. Actually, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm doing my program, you know. I don't want to relapse, you know. I'm sober now, you know. But I think because besides, I already wasn't not a crime, you know, for that MAC station back on 3 years ago. I saw the people died dead. I mean, it's two times, and you know, I wasn't this kind of crime, no.
Christian Salgado is a friend of Miguel's. They met while Christian was the director of the Voz Workers' Rights Education Project Workers' Center on MLK.
It's a day labor workers' center. So, you know, as if you're not familiar with it, or if anybody listens not familiar with it, it's a place where, you know, day laborers go and get connected to work in a safe manner, and also have different kind of educational and workforce development opportunities, different sorts of education. So, you know, like know your rights, labor laws, and, you know, when the right is to get paid, and help them with any issues with wage theft. And so the majority of them, I think when we were there, we surveyed, there was about 75 to 80% of them were homeless. So either living on the street or staying in a shelter. And I believe Miguel was one of these day laborers that, you know, was kind of bouncing around. And so the nature of the day labor work is that, you know, their pay's not guaranteed from week to week. It's like a day to day thing, and it's not guaranteed that they find work every day. And in those kind of environments, if you have an injury, or if you have a day where you can't go to work, like the next person takes your job, right? So it's really important so there's no like safety there in job security. And so it's really important for workers like this to really show up to their work so they can keep getting hired. And so any sort of like injury or thing that would limit somebody's capacity kind of puts them at risk for losing work, just because there's so many folks out there looking for work in this manner. And so I left the job there in 2018. I currently work for Portland General Electric, and Miguel reached out to me after this occurred because, you know, understandably he experienced a traumatic event. So he was dealing with a lot of, you know, not knowing what to do or how to handle it, and not knowing where his next paycheck was going to come from because, you know, he wasn't going to be able to work. And then on top of that, he made a mention of this. He actually was on the MAX when the attacks happened. I don't know if you remember when that person attacked the two women of color on the MAX, and, you know, a few people in there. So he was actually on the MAX, and he witnessed that also. So that's two major events in Portland where people ended up getting, you know, murdered. And so he's just experienced a lot of trauma, honestly. And I'm helping him out in the hopes that, you know, he can find the resources that he needs to really find some healing, have a chance to really step back and you know, get the help he needs. He's doing the right things. I mean, he's advocating for himself. That's one of the great things about Miguel. He knows that where to go to get help. And so, you know, for folks that are listening, Miguel won't say this because he doesn't like asking for help, but please, you know, if you can, just donate to his GoFundMe so we can get him some breathing room so he can really just take the time he needs to really just work on recovering from this. I know it's really hard for him to keep repeating the story and talking about it. And so, yeah, if it's just anybody listening who can help, just donate to him and, you know, and help him find some breathing room.
For Miguel, the reason he wants people to hear his story isn't because he wants to be considered a hero.
I don't like doing like a thing. I mean, a common hero. No, I'm not a hero. I think it's too big, you know, for me. I just try to help, you know, people, you know. I've been doing it, you know. My father was for the fire department volunteer in my country. And then we already have it, you know, in my genes, you know, help people.
The one thing that Miguel wanted to reach out to me for was not because he wanted money or he wanted help or anything else. What he really had in mind was, you know, Mexican immigrants get a lot of negative press and there's a lot of negative attention and association, right? With the past administration, I mean, Trump got like 75 million votes or something. So there's a lot of sentiment out there about, you know, the negative kind of connotations with immigrants. And so Miguel was like, hey, you know, I've been a part of both these things, and this time I actually like stepped up and put my life at risk to stop an event. And I really want to get this out there to show that we're not just here, you know, to do all these negative things that people think we're here to do, that we're actually members of the community who are willing to step up when it's needed to support other people. So I think that's really commendable. And I just wanted to highlight that as we're talking, that when he reached out, that was his concern, is like, hey, no, we need to show that, you know, we're here and we're part of the community and we're doing great things. But in the midst of all those conversations, I was like, man, Miguel, you know, it's okay to ask for help. And also just, you know, keeping in mind that we do have a lot of people with Miguel's background that live in our community, and they're really great assets and attributes to our community. And we really should be working on reducing or getting rid of those negative kind of lenses we see our community through.
I mean, the best for our community, you know. And if they, maybe if I'm gonna end up losing my life, you know, try to helping people, that's my destiny, you know. I will keep in, I mean, helping people, you know, if I see any situation.
We heard from Miguel Rochin, who was hit in the January 25th hit and run spree in Southeast Portland, and Christian Salgado, a friend of Miguel's and the former director of the Voss Workers Center on Martin Luther King. More information on this story can be found on our website, kboo.fm. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.